Attention Magazine, making a difference for people affected by ADHD. Check out the December issue, where we'll cover strategies for a stress-free holiday, travel and routine challenges, dealing with extended families, and parenting when you have ADHD. Attention Magazine is chad.org. Click, join, get involved. Download the Attention Magazine app on iTunes.
This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and Attention Coach Jeff Copper. We got an exciting show for you tonight. More ADHD aha solutions, and with us in a virtual studio is Caroline McGuire, who is also an ADHD coach. Tonight is Wednesday, December the 2nd, year 2015, at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Let's see, a few announcements here real quick. We're a little ahead of the game, but there's a few events that are coming up in the month of January. One is the ADHD, I think it's the Woman Palooza Telesummit. Carrie Maitland, who we've had on the show, and Linda Rogley, who we've had on the show, are pulling this thing together, and it's going to be a week-long telesummit with experts kind of coming on talking about things that impact women. They've got some exciting things that they're doing. There's some giveaways and some raffles and some other stuff. Don't have URL for you quite yet, but if you just Google Woman Palooza, P-A-L-O-O-Z-A, I don't think you're gonna, or ADHD Woman Palooza, I'm pretty sure you're going to find it. Also, in early January, there's another telesummit, Parenting Your Learning Challenged Child. If you just Google that, it's going to kind of come up, and we're going to hopefully be announcing websites for you in the shows in the, for the rest of the month to kind of track that down. So be kind of tuned to it. I know I'll be presenting at both of them. The Woman Palooza will be talking about ADHD and exercise, and we're going to try to hone in on women issues. And then when it comes to parenting your learning challenged child, that's actually going to be fascinating because I'm going to kind of talk about in part personal story, but also in part some theories and stuff that we've learned from the experts. So please mark your calendar for that. Also, ADHDfund.com is a crowdsourcing website used to raise money for small-scale ADHD research worldwide. We encourage you to go check that out. Also, Chad's 1 in 15 million campaign that's going on to raise awareness of ADHD, to raise money and improve content. With that, I think that's the bulk of our reviews tonight. Again, our topic tonight is more ADHD aha solutions. This was pre-recorded with ADHD coach Caroline McGuire, and we're going to run the tape here in a second. I do have to tell you, we do these shows kind of on purpose because so often you go out there and you read stuff, and people refer to things like that you should do, or as I learned from my mother years ago, is some people just talk in pronouns, it, that, thing, whatever, and when they talk about it or that, what exactly is that, or what is it, and people will talk about, you know, play to your strength. Well, what is that? Give me an example of it. Or you need to do it your way. Well, what is that? And today, or the show is really kind of about kind of giving you a visual, if you will, or a context to understand what some of this stuff really, really looks like to create your, or get your creative juices flowing. So this is the second show we've done on this. We did another one several months ago. But for those are our first-timers, we hope you enjoy this. And for those who have seen the other show, we hope you find this as valuable as first. So let's roll the tape. Well, hey, Caroline, how are you doing tonight?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing really good. I'm kind of excited about tonight's show, more ADHD aha solutions. It's always the thing that I never dreamed when I got into coaching was how much I would learn from those that I work with and what clever solutions that they have that I never dreamed of until I opened my mind and realized that I didn't really have all the solutions and that most people actually have them themselves. And I know when I'm coaching, it's a blast to hear something really cool.
Absolutely. And, yeah, people have their own resources, and sometimes they have the best ideas. They just haven't acted on them because they're a little, you know, frightened, or they think that they should be a certain way.
Yep. And so, everybody, one of our goals tonight is just to share stories, like vivid stories that we've encountered that are solutions that were unexpected, at least to me. And most of the times, I'm actually sharing my aha. Sometimes who I was working with was having an aha on something to do next, and sometimes it's just running the fair. But hopefully we'll give you we'll get those creative juices flowing with a couple stories here. And I was going to start off with the first one. Is that all right, Caroline?
That's great.
I was working with a woman who creative type, and she was struggling with her finances, and We were kind of going back and forth, and she had sat down at different times and did budgets. And I don't know, Caroline, when I work with a lot of people, I find they can do a project. Like they can organize the garage, or they can organize their closet, or they can put together the budget. It's like this big thing, and they put it together. But their difficulty is not putting the budget together. It's actually following through with it, or actually doing the day-to-day tasks. And
And
we were talking about, you know, plugging this stuff into a computer model, and she just, this woman just didn't do it. And so I said, well, let's quit doing it that way because it wasn't working. And I'm bringing a bunch of stuff in that I knew from some of the things. And she was a social person and kind of creative, and she actually, one of her best friends was an introvert that didn't live that far away from her, and they used to get together. And anyway, in the call, began to realize is that the introverted friend loved for her to come over, and they would sit and talk about some stuff because she was kind of outgoing, and it was just fun. So where we ended up was the structure. In order for her to manage her finances, she got a pen with a string, like a necklace with had a pen, so it was always on her. And when she would go shopping, basically put everything on credit card, and as soon as she was there at the store, point of performance, and which is a big deal, she would write on the receipt like the category of what that receipt represented. So if it was at the grocery store, it would be groceries, at Target, it might be household or whatever, and she would just stuff it in an envelope in her purse. And then each week, she would go over to her friends on Sunday afternoon, and they would sit down and just catch up and something, and she would actually give her friend the envelope. Now, her friend was really into data entry, and what she would do is she would actually bang all these receipts into an Excel spreadsheet, which was really kind of fascinating. And as time went on, each week she would go, and her friend, after banging it, would actually, she set up, I guess, set it somehow in Quicken, and reports, and she would just print off these graphs, these bar graphs and pie charts of the finances. And the person, what was really cool is the person that I was coaching, she didn't like the repetitive, boring, routine task, and we knew that she was very visual. And so she would see these graphs of, like, here's the amount in, here's the amount out, and she could just visually see it. She didn't have to study a spreadsheet for a period of time. And it was interesting because as she became aware of the money and was just looking at it every Sunday from the past week or whatever it was, she began to interact with her money and understand it a little bit, and she actually began to save some money. And what my point really here is we got rid of the friction, and we got rid of what she thought she was supposed to do, and at point of performance, she would just write it down, and she gave it to a friend. Now, a lot of people would say, yeah, but I don't want to burden my friend on this. But what was interesting, what her friend was getting back was the weekly kind of companionship, and the person I coach and actually used to take, you know, the bottle of wine down there for her to do that, and it ended up becoming beneficial for both parties doing the same thing, and that's how she actually finally started budgeting and actually saving money.
It became real for her. That's a great story because it was always there. It just became more real for her with the graph. They formed a great relationship, which I love, and sometimes friends are willing to help us, and they get something out of it, which is the companionship.
Yep.
And I love when you said the supposed to was let go.
Yes.
because that's so important.
I talk about attentional blindness, and we actually did a show with Dan Simons, who was co-author of The Invisible Gorilla about a year or so ago. But sometimes you actually, your own attention blinds you to the obvious. And so often when we let go of what we think we should do, we actually can open our mind and come up with creative ways to do some other things. And in this situation, too, the key to it is that the woman was very visual, and she wouldn't really be able to study spreadsheets and grasp the information, but a picture of what her money looked like in a pie chart was an immediate association for her and easy for her to digest.
I love that. And I think that that's a really key factor, Jeff, is that a lot of times when I've worked with clients, you know, many great solutions in the world have come from thinking a little differently.
Yep.
And getting away from the way it is. So I think that what I love about that, too, is that it was a lower pressure situation for this
yep.
client. It wasn't as hard on them. So I think that's a great story about letting go.
Yep, yep. Now, you got a story about a college student getting up in a coffee pot or something. You want to tell us about that?
Sure. You know, I've had many times where, you know, you leave home and you're on your own, and adults with ADHD often have sleep issues. And sometimes a sleep issue is bad enough, but it's not bad enough that you qualify and you go for a sleep study or anything, but it's still getting in the way. And many times when I work with college students, they're out there on their own. They're living in a, you know, a dorm or an apartment. In this case, this was a young man. He was living in an apartment, and he needed to get to his job. And he was he had very long days with physical labor. And one of the things that was really tough for him was that if he didn't get up on time, he didn't end up eating breakfast, and yet he was going to have to be on for hours and hours. And so he had worked with people before doing sort of the traditional stuff with putting the alarm across the room, et cetera, and sometimes that works. But he had an idea that I loved, and it was really creative, and he said to me, you know, when I do get up and I do experience the coffee brewing and making a really good breakfast, I really enjoy myself, and I want that again. I just can't figure out how to get it. So we worked together, and he said that he wanted to try to sort of entice himself to get out of bed. And he had this idea that he would get a coffee maker and plug it in his room, and rather than it being outside his room, it's right there, and he set it every night, and the coffee maker would go off in the morning, and it would, you know, it sort of
yep.
be a sensory overload. And he has been, ever since then, getting up, getting breakfast, and getting to work.
I love that story. And what's interesting is, Caroline, I find that some people are more sensitive to certain senses. And
I agree.
This story might not work for everybody, but if you might be extra sensitive to smell, that might be enough to kind of get you kind of going in the morning with that coffee pot in there. And I think it's a wonderful story. And I can't help but tell another story that's same thing, just a little different. And this isn't my story. I think I heard it a couple days ago. And there was a guy who was having difficulty getting up in the morning. And so what he did is he would go into the kitchen and he would set up the coffee maker to make coffee at a certain time. Okay? And he removed the carafe where it, like, pulls into. And I'm not exactly sure. I'm sure he had to tape something because there's, like, a thing if it's not there that doesn't drip all over the place. And he would set his alarm. And I think there was, like, a five-minute delay. So when his alarm went off in the morning, if he didn't get up and get out of bed, there was coffee all over the counter, and it was a big mess. And that was enough of an incentive for him to actually kind of help him get up and kind of get going.
Oh, I love that. That's a great story. That would get me out of bed. you know, the mess that's coming. And that's, Jeff, what I love about that is that's the kind of thing that you can't always think of yourself, but that sometimes clients can think of that is, you know, sort of the push-pull, and it
yes.
gets you out of bed.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So I got another story. We'll go to break. And I'm going to kind of rush through this one. One of the things that I've learned, Caroline, is many of those with ADHD can do for others what they can't do for themselves, or they can do things that they don't normally do in the company of another, particularly when it's related to more repetitive, boring, routine tasks. And there was a woman that I was coaching that was ADD, and she struggled with those types of tasks, and the topic was bill paying. And anyway, bottom line is, I said, you know, you're really social. It seems to me that if you could pay your bills with somebody, it would be, you know, a real good deal. And she's like, but I don't know anybody. I said, well, the universe is out there. If you're not looking for it, you won't see it. It's like, you know, you go buy a red car, and then you notice all the red cars that are out there. And so she's just started talking to people at church and different places that, you know, she struggles paying bills, and it'd be great if she had somebody to do it with. And sure enough, I think it was at church, another woman said, yeah, I have the same problem. So they decided to meet at a Starbucks on a Monday morning or something. And she took her box of bills and stuff, and they sat there and had coffee and actually spent an hour paying their bills as they sat there and checked. And before you know it, about 2 months later, the other friend was telling people, and they actually had a bill-paying club that every Monday, I think there was five of them, that would show up for coffee, and they'd all bring their stuff in. It was a social atmosphere, but the byproduct of it is they were able to actually get their bills paid.
I love it. I wonder if I can join them.
Certainly if you can move down to St. Petersburg, Florida. But again, these are one of my, what I loved about that story is company or body doubles is very common that works. But the idea really is that there's lots of other people that have the same problems, and you're not going to find them unless you go out there and kind of talk about it. And bringing it up, she just stumbled into a woman. Before you know it, it just grew from there and made it easy and actually was very enjoyable for them to go to. No longer a burden, but something she looked forward to.
I think that's great. I love it. That's a great story. And then you're able to also use your greatest strength, which was her socialization. Yep.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's go to break real quick. Everybody, this is Caroline McGuire. She's an ADHD coach. She specializes in working with children and families, supporting them. She's got a lot of background. Her website is NE, which stands for New England Coaching.com. So if you want to learn about her or you're interested in a service, go check that out. I'm Jeff Copper, ADHD and attention coach. My website is digcoaching.com. With that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Looking for a new way to manage your ADHD or ADD? A new clinical trial is testing an investigational medicine for adults with ADHD. The medication is not a stimulant. There's no cost to participate, and health insurance is not required. If you've been diagnosed with ADHD and want to learn more, visit www.measureadhd.com or call 866-985-0330. That's measureadhd.com or 866-985-0330.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're with Caroline McGuire, and we're sharing ADHD aha moments and solutions and stories. It's interesting because we did a show on this before, and I think we're going to have a lot of material to do more. I love these things because they're a lot of fun. So, Caroline, I worked with a lot of people that travel, and traveling can be a little bit of a challenge for some of them. I know that you've got a story on dealing with toiletries or packing bags. You want to share that with us?
Sure. I had a client, and I've had many clients like this who traveled all the time. And, you know, that's hard in terms of managing the executive function. Sometimes you're sleep deprived. And, you know, you have to get to the airport on time. So there's another challenge. And this person had a series of sort of, hard times with the airport where he had actually, you know, forgot his passport once. He had had times where, he never did find his keys on the other end. So now you're at the airport 1 o'clock in the morning coming home. So he'd had a hard time, and he was really ready for this to be over. And we tried doing the whole checklist thing, and it just didn't work for him. He didn't keep it up.
Yep.
He didn't want to do the checklist. So what we decided, since he was always rushing to pack and he was always forgetting vital stuff, is that he ended up having 3 bags ready for the 3 different kinds of trips he would take, and he had everything in them ready to go. And he ended up keeping his passport right there by the bag, sort of, at the wall there. And that way, he was always ready to go, and he didn't have to sort of have packing be this big thing right before you leave for the airport, and you have all your travel documents right there. So, you know, it worked really well just to have everything ready, and then off you go.
Yep. Reminds me back in the early 90s, I was a group sales rep, and I covered a lot of territory, didn't fly a lot, was mostly driving, and I actually just kept a toiletry bag in my trunk all the time. It never left it because I just would jump in the car and kind of go, and I always had it there when I traveled. But I got another story that actually kind of played out with 2 people that I was working with. One of them actually told me the structure, and the other one was somebody else I tossed it out to. And the idea really is that on their toiletry bag, they would have difficulty because they would forget things on the road and vice versa. And it's kind of disruptive if you've got like a home routine and you've got an on-the-road routine. And the solution was to get rid of all the toiletries in his bathroom, and he just had the toiletries in his travel kit. So when he was on the road, he certainly had the toiletries in his travel kit, and he dealt with it. But when he came home, he acted like he was living out of a hotel because it was the same routine. And he didn't have to use the executive function to stop and think about what was going, and he was always interacting with it. So when he was going low on toothpaste, he knew it because it was going to be the next day, whether he's home or on the road, and so he was replenishing it on a normal basis. And that notion of having a set routine that you use when you're on the road and you're at home by just living out of a travel bag in both places really helped him with a part of travel that was challenging for him.
I love that. That's a great story. And I've had people use that, too, where they actually have the same routine. You know, if there's a little bin they put their keys in, they bring it to the hotel room in their suitcase so that they can use the exact same system wherever they are. And that I love that. I think it's great because it's all those things that get in our way and make it sort of just a big hassle.
It kind of reminds me of Dr. Barclays. He says, you know, there's the automatic brain and the executive functioning brain, and the executive functioning brain is very effortful because it's got to override the automatic. And when you get those routines down, it's easy because you just do that. You don't think about it. Whereas if you're on the road and you don't have that routine, you got to pause and you got to kick in and use your executive functioning brain. As Dr. Barclays says, you have a smaller fuel tank if you've got ADD, and you certainly don't want to use up that fuel on something as trivial as remembering something when you're going, because that takes away from using that your brain for other things. And so taking that, what you had described on the road where you put your keys and stuff like that, really makes a lot of sense, and that's why it's easier for some of those people to do that, and really kind of makes some sense with what some of the researchers are saying.
Absolutely.
You have another one, too, about sports equipment and stuff. You want to share that one with us?
Sure. Any of us who have children who play sports, often it's a constant struggle to get the kids to unpack the bags, to get everything clean. And, you know, sometimes you have a pretty tight turnaround. There comes a point where moms have what I call a mommy temper tantrum. I'm guilty of this, too, where you say you're too old to have things everywhere. And this family had a large family, and they all played sports, and the equipment was really a problem, and they were missing things. They were missing sessions and practices, and, you know, with karate, you pay for the whole year, and you can go any day of the week, but you have to go. And they were constantly not able to find some piece of the uniform to actually get to practice.
Uh-huh.
And so what we did was we decided that the locker room needed to be the place where you store all the equipment, that the kids would come right into the laundry room, dump their gear, unload their hockey bags or what have you, and then we created a rack on the wall where everything hung. So it really wasn't like you had to search the whole house, which was they had hysterical funny stories, but searching the house, you know, for one piece. You really, if it wasn't in the laundry, it was on the rack or it was somewhere in that room. And that really just helped the drama because, you know, you get as a parent to a point where you feel like every day can't be drama. And it really helped, and it just was a little different than insisting that, you know, everything has to be put away in the drawers in a bedroom.
It's in the last show I did on this, I kind of threw that there, but I was working, same concept, just slightly different, is bottom line is finding clothes and all that stuff was a mess, particularly for this particular family. So what they did is they moved their washer and dryer into an empty bedroom, and they removed everything out of their closet. So that one room became the laundry room and their closet. And they put stuff up. So if it's hanging on the wall, it was typically something they didn't wear very much. It was on the floor. It was dirty. And then they had tables out where they took it out of the dryer and they tossed it, and you'd sift through it. And the cool part about it is you might have to sift through to find what you want to wear that day. But it was all in that one room, and you didn't have to go back and forth and reduce what I call friction, and really made it a lot easier for everybody to find what they were doing and manage it in a way that was really made a lot of sense. So it's just, again, it's a different way of looking. And most people say, well, that seems kind of crazy, but these types of things really help and really work for the right people.
Absolutely.
And another story I want to share that's kind of related to this is, and then we're going to need to run to a break, is there's somebody that I was working with that was very visual and remembered things by association, and they had – their kids had, like, cubbies where they had stuff in different places in the house. And what she would do is put all the things that were supposed to be in that space, and she'd take a picture of it. Then she'd take the picture and put it over it so that rather than label this particular area, she put a picture of what's supposed to be there so the house cleaner and the kids and everybody would look at the picture and could determine where something went based off of the picture.
Oh, I love that. That's actually a great strategy that – occupational therapists teach, which is to show the kid the picture and they improve their visual schema. It's wonderful. I love it.
If your brain works like that, we do it with the way your brain works. So let's go to break real quick, everybody. Caroline's web address is NE as in New England coaching.com. My address is digcoaching.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
A new study is seeking adults 18 to 55 who have been diagnosed with ADHD or ADD. The study will examine the effects of an investigational medicine on symptoms of ADHD. The medicine is not a stimulant and works differently than currently approved ADHD medications. To learn more, visit www.measureadhd.com. or call 866-985-0330. That's measureadhd.com or 866-985-0330.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution, misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're sharing some fun ADHD aha stories and solutions with my good friend here, Carolyn McGuire. Carolyn, I don't work a lot with kids. I think it takes a certain gift, a talent, and a certain kind of way of coaching. And I know you do a lot of that. And you have a story about a girl, if she's shy or whatever, but it was a way to kind of get her to kind of come out. Can you share that one with our listeners?
Yeah, I do work with kids a lot and teenagers and college students. And I'd say this, you know, sometimes we have to follow our passion and interests, but we also have to teach people to do things that are more mundane. And for this little girl, it was actually more that she didn't particularly want to always participate on that given day. And so for her with soccer, she didn't want to drop out of soccer, but she didn't always want to participate. And I'm sure many people listening have had this dilemma. And you're trying to teach kids, you know, you're part of a team, you have to participate. And, you know, they had a particularly bad day where she didn't participate and, you know, poor mother, all the parents offer her advice and she's embarrassed and the kids, you know, really upset to be, you know, constantly asked to participate. And so we worked with this little girl and I sort of did what we call social problem solving, where I just sort of said to her, you know, what was this about for you? And what we came up with as a solution was really that she was bored and it didn't interest her all the time. And so she had a great imagination, and we decided to use the imagination piece. And so what she would do to participate is that she would run around and participate pretending that she was a character and that she was chasing a minx and she was going to kill the minx and the soccer ball was the minx and she was really into it. And when you saw the parents videotaped it for me, and when you saw the videotape, you know, it was like a different kid. And, you know, so what we talked about after was this allowed her to sort of do the boring task in a pretend way, and she, you know, was able to participate and keep her place on the team.
This is Attention Talk Radio, the show that pays attention to attention. And that is such a great story because the outcome of chasing the soccer ball is the same, but the focus of how she paid attention to it was everything.
Right. Absolutely. And it can work. You know, I've had other kids, now that this turned me on to a whole new, you know, slew of looking at what can you do to sort of use your imagination.
We did a show with Kirsten Milliken years ago about play and how play is really, really important. And I remember in that show we were having a conversation about, you know, you can extend it to work. Like, let's say you're an individual that's supposed to make cold calls, and it's, you know, the rejection and the boredom and all that kind of stuff. And she talked about how you could change that into how do you get on the phone and either weave in somehow supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. And so the game was to see how you could have these conversations and weave that in somewhere in some type of way. Again, same thing that you're doing, but you're kind of occupying your mind in a different way and really kind of playing around as a means to keep it engaged.
Absolutely, and that's part of the whole, you know, attention strategy kit.
Yep, absolutely. So the story that I have is about a person that needed to do some networking, and it was not necessarily outgoing. And how do they go into a big room of people, or kind of the crowd, and network? And we came up with a notion of we really kind of need a decoy. And I'll share with you what that looks like for me is when I go to, years ago, when I used to go to the CHAD conferences and NADA conferences and the ACO conferences, I really wanted to get to know some of these people, but just to walk up to like a Dr. Brown or a Dr. Rustin or a Dr. Barkley and just say, you want to kind of talk to them, it just felt awkward to me. But one of the cool things was, is my decoy
was real, actually, at the time. I didn't know at the time, but I walk up and I'd say, hey, here's my business card. I want to introduce you. I'm the host of Attention Talk Radio, and I wanted to ask you a question about your presentation and see if you might be interested in coming onto the show. And it was my reason to go talk to them, kind of a decoy. I mean, many times I really just want to talk to them, but it was a way to kind of play it out. And this other individual that I was coaching is, when he would go to those types of things, we would try to figure out what the decoy was. And one time he came up was, he was there doing some research and was just, I want to interview you on this topic because I'm researching and I'm writing a paper. He really wasn't writing a paper on it, but that's what he said as a reason to go up and ask those questions. Again, kind of a decoy, so that it wasn't just him kind of vulnerably kind of getting up there, and it worked like a charm for him.
I love that, because that is something that we all feel. You walk into a big ballroom and you really have to think of how to make this work. And, you know, if someone is more shy, that's really overwhelming for them, and sometimes they actually don't go to those activities.
Yep.
So what I love about that is that's something that they can put in their toolkit, that any of us can use, especially if you really do need a decoy, because, you know, being brave is not easy for you. So I love that.
And again, the idea here in coaching sometimes is, again, I call myself an attention coach, because that's what it is. So if you're paying attention to the ball as a minx and you're supposed to run around and kill it, you're getting the outcome, but your mindset is different. Or if you're walking into the room and your focus is here's my decoy to kind of get me around the room, you're accomplishing what you want to do, but what's enabling you to do it all comes down to paying attention to it a little bit differently. So,
right.
You have another story that, and then we'll kind of pull things together, kind of wrap this up a little bit, about a gentleman in his office in categories. Can you talk to us about that a little bit?
So, sometimes for ADDers, we like to have everything out and in the open, but you know, it's really hard to function when everything is sort of all over the place and you have these piles. But putting things away in a file drawer doesn't always work for folks. And this gentleman, brought me to his office, and he was showing me, you know, how overwhelming it was. And he really wasn't trying to sell this idea of I know where everything is. He was really more saying, I just really need this to be more manageable. And what we ended up coming up with was that he had a good sense of categories. And so we almost created stations where on the different pieces of furniture and in different areas, you would have categories. And the things were piled. They weren't beautiful. But then you know that this is the accounting category, or this is the, you know, sales category. And that way you're not searching all over, and you're not putting everything away. It was sort of a nice compromise.
Yeah, I'm trying to look in the archives. We had done a show years ago with Sandy Mayer, and I think she talked about sprawling and unsprawling. Like, and she would. It's hard for me to describe it to you, but you had things that you would kind of move out, and were kind of categorical. But that aside, there's a lot that I've coached that. They have like a place where they do certain things in different parts of the house because it's very categorical, and they need all their things in those particular areas, and they need it out to see it. If it was all in one room, it's overwhelming, but if they spread out in those different places, they can do it in the projects you're out. And for some, it'll drive you crazy because of the stuff, but for others, it's the perfect solution.
Exactly, and that's what it is. It's not one size fits all. It's what's the right solution for you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, Caroline, it's been a blast having you on the show. I always think that this is fun. I mean, all these solutions that we shared are nothing I ever dreamed of, at least when I started coaching. Did you?
Oh, absolutely not. And I really didn't know when I started that everything is within the client. They have a lot of the answers, and we just have to draw it out.
You know, something we've actually never talked about, so let's just pause here. The coaching paradigm. And both of us actually teach other coaches, and we mentor other coaches. And it's funny because when those new coaches kind of come in, they think of coaching as having the solutions and telling people kind of what to do. And coaching is actually the opposite of that. It's and when I'm mentoring other coaches, the hard part is in coaching is is self-management, to quit thinking that you have the solution for everybody. And that notion in coaching is all clients are created naturally, resourceful, and whole. Even though even ADHD clients, they have all the answers within them, and our job isn't to tell them what would work for them, but rather to help them discover on their own what works. And that's the fun thing about the coaching paradigm is so often, matter of fact, I just talked to somebody this morning that I'm going to coach, and I'm really, really excited because it's somebody that's different, and I'm looking forward to the next aha solution I'm going to learn from them. I just have to help them figure it out and articulate to me.
Absolutely. Everyone has the answers within them, and we just have to help facilitate that and brainstorm, and that's
yep.
the best, most fun part.
It is. It is. So everybody, go check out Carolyn McGuire's website at necoaching.com. And if you're inclined to check out some stuff that I'm doing, go to digcoaching.com. So, Caroline, thank you so much for coming on the show and joining me, co-hosting this.
No problem. Thank you.
All right, everybody. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.